sector in terms of membership profit, what is it that the private sector will do to, what will be their contribution to lend for? So that's what the members indicated, they will still go back to their constituencies and carry the cost on that aspect. And the date for that, the reporting date will be the next meeting, which is on the 9th of June. That's when the constituencies will be expected to report on what their contribution will be on land ownership issues. There was also a question around skills development as to why agriculture, the agri-BU, we have in 20, reducing from the generic scorecard, that's slide number 11. The skills development agri-BU indicative scorecard, we say we're giving 20 points for that, and then the generic scorecard is given 15 points. I think the argument around that was that most of our emerging farmers still need skills. So it will be better to give more scoring on skills development. So that was what was discussed and agreed on. But this is the process that will still have to be worked on as we migrate from section 12 to 9. And there will still be consultation around those areas. The other question that one will the budget. We unlike the other chapter councils like the forestry, which is an independent organization with its CEO. The Agri-BU Charter Council, as it is now, it's still a section 12, and what's happening in the department itself is still managing the affairs. And once we move from section 12 to 9, the idea is that we will have an independent body that will have its own finances to run the affairs. But for now, the only by financial implications that are there is for members when they attend meetings and when they have to travel. So that is the information that the department can provide. But that's just about it in terms of the budget. The budget will be worked out. But now as we are moving from section 12 to 9, we are working on the budget structure as what will be required for us to do all the process in terms of consultations and all those things to move from 12 to 9. Yes, and that is a working group that's looking at the cost drivers and what will be required for the process to go on. The question on net profit and capital investment, I hope the council members will attempt to look at that. The question by the chair as to how many farmers we have, I saw some of our council members here looking at me, but the estimates that we have from the department side, I think from the subsistence level we have about 240,000, and then there's, because we have three categories: subsistence, smallholders, and commercial. It's the region of for small, this is at the region of 200, but that may not be accurate because in terms of accuracy, it's difficult at times to see what's a farmer, more especially from subsistence level. You may have someone with one pig, and if the person stays in a rural area, the person will at times be referred to as a farmer. But those are the definitions that we are working on. But the estimates that we're having for now is for around in subsistence farmers, we're having at a region of 240,000. And around 200 or so on the smallholders.
The figure we're currently working on is 40,000 commercial farmers in the country. Obviously not very confirmed, but I think that's a fair estimate. I just respond on the question on the return on assets in agriculture. The question is to the let's call it a return on equity in agriculture, and the rule of thumb is looking on currently 5%. That's the generalized average return on equity in agriculture. If I might say, the question was also, I think, by yourself, ask as to the contribution of the agricultural sector to the economy of 2.53% is the direct contribution to the gross domestic product of the country.
Sorry, I couldn't hear.
3% between 2.5% and 3% is the direct contribution of the agricultural sector to the GDP of the country. But
and in grand translation?
Well, that's about whatever, 1,600 billion is the GDP at this point in time. Say, we should think of that as most likely to be 70 or more. So yeah, but I think that's only part of the story. You should obviously appreciate the leadership of the sector, the input suppliers, and the downstream industries and processes and such, and the realistic figure. If you fact these three meters into the sector, would be 10-11%. Now you can obviously blow it up to 25% of actually any kind of something in the past, but I think that's a bit so 10-11% given the south of agri complex, I think it is interesting. Might just add on the slowness or the speed of the process. The generic code of good practice was published by the Department of Trade and Industry on February 2006, 3 years down the line. As was correctly indicated by Mr. Abel, the agricultural chart was published almost 2 years ago already. And we as organizations, we do have a problem with the speed of the process as well. We signed off on this chart quite some time ago. Yeah, what's now happening is, you know, you're inquiring into the future of the process and the speed and the whatever. We're now entering into very elaborate investigations pertaining to the threshold of the sector. And Paul said it's going to take a considerable period of time to come up with new thresholds for the sector. Because what we are driving at, and that's the council decision, we now need to ascertain whether the 5 minimum conventional level should be applicable to the agricultural sector as well. Now, yeah, where are we going to end up? 2 million, 6 million, 10 million, whatever the case might be. And to arrive at a figure like that, you have to do in-depth analysis of the financial statements or statements of individual farms. And this is going to take a considerable period of time to really do that. So yeah, 2 years from now, we might end up with a Section 9 code of good practice for the agricultural sector, given the work that's going on.
Any further responses? Thank you, Kate. You were the agricultural business chairman. But I also want to respond to Mr. Arnold's question on the speed. And I want to just put down some dates, because we've got to know what the facts are of this whole situation. Otherwise, I get started with the same brush in the whole process as a council member. 20 March 2008, the transformation charter was presented. That was basically signed by all these role players in the process. Then, 9 months later, the charter council was established by the minister, the then minister, in terms of who the members would be. The first meeting was called in October 2009, another 10 months down the line. So there was nearly 2 years, it's about a year and a half. 2 years, there was a delay in any process. And you can't blame the members of the Charter Council for that. That was not our doing in that process. Yeah. Very important to know that. That's the first thing. What happened in the process is that the codes of good practice were published. They had to start being implemented in August 2008, if I remember correctly. What the agribusiness sector did is they took, because there was no sector code at that stage, They have positioned themselves in terms of the generic codes of good practice. And we've done a survey, an independent survey of ourselves, that we've paid for big money to universities to do an analysis of where our members stand in terms of agri-business. Because the process was gone. The process hasn't stopped within the agri-business sector. So what we've seen out of this is that 30% of our members already have corporate and they're using these in contractual arrangements because that's the penalization in procurement, etc., etc. So the agribusinesses businesses are buying our position themselves, those that haven't, 50% of them are in the process of finalizing their scorecards according to the codes of good practice, and the others have not done much, but they are being made aware of the process that they must get in line with that. The problem that we now face, and this is a dilemma that we have within the Chartered Council, and let me be frank about it. The Chartered Council was actually supposed to be an implementation body. If you measure the implementation to see how we're progressing, it was to go forward. What's happened now in the Chartered Council is we've gone back to the Transformation Charter, because the people that were appointed there didn't know the process previously. They weren't part of the Ministerial Steering Committee that drafted this. So now you don't revisit it. Now you go 4 years back. And it took 4 years for us to develop that Transformation Charter. I was part of that process. It was a difficult process. It was a consensus process. In the end, nobody was happy, but in the end, that was a consensus process. And that's where we stood with it. So now we've got to go and revisit targets, revisit the whole thing, and that puts us back. And it's going to, and as Ron correctly said, now you've got to go and do more and more research to see what threshold, what the target must be. We're not progressing forward in terms of meeting targets of implementing AGBE, because what's happening now is we're falling back to the codes of good practice. If your codes of good practice and your sector code that we're supposed to achieve are out of line, it's going to cost the businesses huge money to then again re-strategize to fall in line with the sector code. So yes, we want to go to a sector code, but the problem is most of our guys have already positioned themselves of the code of good practice. So to realign yourself is going to be huge cost. And I really think that it's a point that our businesses are debating whether we should continue with that process. And it's important that you know this. There's a feeling in general business, within BUSA, etc., whether there should be sector codes at all. There's a strong feeling that it should be the codes of good practice that apply to everybody. Then you level the playing field, you make it easy for the verification agencies because then they get trained to do it on a one basis for all. And those codes are developed so that generally you could do it. How many sector codes are in practice at the moment? It's one or two. The mining has not been finalized, the financials have not been finalized. You can go all down the line. I think it's a significant that's in the sector code at the moment. So, yes, we can look at that. But we must understand that the codes of good practice are there and we have to visit ourselves in terms of that. It's very important to understand that. Then go back to the question of the return. On equity or capital, for the agri businesses, it will be slightly higher than what you want, but it will probably be, I don't know, if it's much more than 6 or 7% in the process.
How much?
6 or 7% in the process. The problem that you have in agriculture, and we must also put this on the table, in the primary sector, your growth, your GDP growth in agriculture has been less than 1% per average over the last 10 years. How do you grow? How do you empower in a sector that's really backing? It's backing to survive. It's, in fact, if you're growing at 1% per annum, you're not growing. You're actually going down in terms of your meeting the demands of your population growth, etc. That's why our per capita output in South Africa in terms of agricultural production is dropping. It's down. So you're not empowering because there's no profitability. There's no confidence in the sector to invest. How are you going to empower significantly, efficiently, in a sector like that? And to a certain degree, that's going to be the same process in the agribusiness sector, because if it doesn't go well with the farmers, it won't go well with the agribusiness sector, and vice versa. So you're sitting in a sector that is not going to create the jobs or the growth that we wanted to create in terms of rural development, poverty alleviation, job creation, all those things. So we must understand there's also the economic aspect that impact on empowerment in this process. Thank you. I thought I need to give you a fairly frank opinion as to how we see it.
Remember, I want us to be more practical about this whole life. While we may be theoretical, giving all the energy, this is very good. We have a job to do. That job in the name is transforming the sector in our economy called issue remains, how the best way is to do that. Yes, theoretical analysis is very good, very important in that, but it informs as to how best to be transformed the best technology. In the report on such plan, in the report in the such plan, what you do see there among it is growing of the commercial of the culture sector. From 780,000 to 800,000.
Sorry? I think the labor. Labor of some that's the way.
And what?
No, I was saying it's labor.
Is that not a job?
Yeah.
It's not
the number. Jobs created.
Still. The issue for me are the fundamentals that we need to deal with. How long is the term of your comfort? I was just trying to browse through the and the issue for me are the legal obligations that the charter council have you got any kit? Whether it is on personal, within the department, or is it on its own? Independent, having its own administration and budget and whatnot and whatnot. Has it got any kit? So as to be able, when that threshold is identified, it is effectively implemented. Can we have another round?
on what you're saying here, for the clarity of it, you must remember that the sections legal are not compulsory. They are voluntary people. It's the market out there is regulating it. And that is the reason why they are moving from Section 12 to Section 9. Section 9 is more controllable and there can be more, it can be enforced on that score data. But at the moment, it's a voluntary situation out there.
It's part of the council.
No, not the council. You're asking if the council has got some teeth. And what I wanted to say is that although the council is monitoring the situation, they are acting in fact at the moment to transform the Section 12 to a Section 9 what do you call it? Charter, yeah.
But are you part of the council?
I was part of the council.
What's it? Part of
are you part of the council? No, I'm not part of the council. I'm just trying to get clarity on what you are. But what I want to do is obviously if I see that on the whole image of the sector. We haven't got clarity on the image of the sector, and I actually asked the question just now on the state of the sector. We have been given the figures of 240,000 subsistence and smaller than 200,000. We still don't know how that is being calculated. You must remember in our other meetings that we had, NAFO was actually mandated to get a database. They were actually given money to get a database on board. And I think Mr. Lambrilla can maybe inform us how far we are with that database. Because these figures are totally far away from the fact. We still don't know how they calculate their difference, what is the difference. My colleague has also asked us in the budget. When are we classified as a citizen? When are we classified as small scale? So that there can be clarity on this issue. Otherwise, we're just talking about figures, but we don't know what it means. Why am I asking this? Because we must have a holistic look at the sector. Here, clearly, at the beginning, it's not transformed at all. If we look at these figures, then obviously the majority of people on the ground
is already, this is bounty speed. The document can be turned around as well.
The issue that Dr. Bosman, you are raising, in the main, it is a matter that I am raising, that talks about the configuration of what we have currently. Very nice to say 240, 1000. Now, what is your definition of the subsystem? What is the definition of a small hole farmer? To a point where the department from time to time it is called to order on a subject matter that relates to support being given to grow small scale farming. Now, that emerging farmer, become an emerging farmer forever. It never emerged. To understand that definition must still be solved. And I would imagine your best success give those definitions. If you are expected to transform the sector, you need to guide that. You need to be able to tell us exactly what it is that to be transformed. And the definition of that is to be transformed. So that we get a clear sense as to who constitutes a subsistence farmer. Remember, this is an exercise that you take notes to come to you. This is an exercise. Obviously, that is the beginning, as I said earlier. We are going to really, even if it means taking an extra time outside of Tuesday, to certainly take a very, very, very special interest in the subject matter. Among other, the interest is to see to it that there is CD processes of work that need to be done. It is not on for us to continue with situations as things stand now. For you to meet, it has to be some need of a special nature, transforming from being section 12 to, you know, section 9. And on the ground, what is it that we are doing to fix it? I hear what Dr. Bosman is saying, you know, everybody is still free, all what is happening now is still to be expected, we are monitoring. You need to hear you saying, these are the keys that must make sure that there is compliance. And we really don't have to spend a whole year trying to find those kids and have them affected in the legislation or in the regulation.
Chairman, you mentioned a few things here. I'm glad you mentioned the question about subsistence and smallholder farmers. Now, we know that, I know many years ago we had about 50,000 commercial farmers. They now have 40,000. The reason being that there's scarcely enough land, and some of them are forced out for financial reasons and economic reasons. We know that. And, you know, all other reasons, markets overseas and so forth. But there's scarcely enough land available for 40,000 commercial farms. Now, we know that the government's policy to have 200,000 smallhold farmers, and we're going to, as the sentence was, the word was, graduate them to commercial. Now, how on earth, which we have, we can't have 40,000 commercial farmers making a profit, how are we going to get to take 200,000 smallhold farmers
and graduate them to commercial, there's not enough land. It's impossible. So what we're saying is we must start talking about these figures. How many of these small old farmers, maybe we can, are we going to upgrade or graduate them to what point? That's the question. But my problem is that this is a very precarious situation. If the farmer, they lose their 5% profit margin, they will be out of business, am I correct? Now that means that that division or that sector is also out of business. I mean, if you take the best, they say 7% and the other one is 5% higher. Let's go to that, 6-7, let's take the best. Let's say all the farmers are having a 5% profit on their equity. Now the banks are at risk, you understand? If the banks are loaning billions from these people. Now if the farmers go down by 5%, that sector is also down, because their 7%, even a percentage of the farmers are taking a knock, then they are also out of business. So then the whole sector is out of business.
Whom are you talking on behalf of?
No, I'm talking about this country. Because when you said to these people they must have tea, what must they do with tea? If they're going to bite off the head of the economic and financial viability of this sector, we have nothing left. Now, I'm telling you, Mr. Chairman, when this industry falls, it's going to fall in such a big way. I have talked to bank people. The banks are going to fall, and this whole country will be down in 30 days. The people in the cities will be starving, because the people on the farms might be able to slaughter a couple of sheep and, you know, whatever, eat dry meat in. But the people in the cities are going to die. That's what I'm telling you. If you are going to fall in...
You're scared about transformation.
No, what I'm saying is, if you force these people to transform at a pace that is going to kill the viability, economic viability of this sector, you shake your head. I'm telling you, you can shake your head. Then, if we transform in such a way, what will happen is that there will nothing will happen.
Okay.
That's it.
Thank you.
Secondly, Chair, You see, sir, I have a major problem. The problem is that we are not approaching agriculture, transformation in agriculture, transformation in land ownership in a holistic fashion. We don't have a comprehensive rural and agricultural development strategy. We don't have it. We hear of a CRDP, Comprehensive Rural Development Plan. What does that plan entail? There is no meat in it. It's just a phrase that is coined. There is nothing practical about it. And what is necessary is that we need to have a strategy, an integrated strategy. For example, you have the Department of Trade and Industry, which is also engaged in some other form of agricultural activity. You have announcements made about industrial development in the country, but nowhere is agriculture considered as or included in any such plan. And you see, until and unless we as a country are willing to take a holistic view and develop an integrated plan. At the moment, you have rural development, which is busy establishing, for example, little pockets of housing development in the rural areas, aligned to some other agricultural development. Bringing in schools and things like that. It's good. I mean, we need the schools and stuff. We need the housing. Yes. But you see, there is no, I don't know what is the alignment between that department and our department in terms of agricultural development. We don't know. You may be going all out, for example, at rural development to try and promote the production of a particular commodity. We may be doing the same thing, but we're not talking to one another. We're actually working in silos. And say, if we don't change that, we are going to have a hodgepodge development where one is going to do something without the other knowing what it is, and that is not going to lead us anywhere. And that also, will impact on this agri BEE charter, because if you do have a overall charter, a code of practice, one is expected then to align yourself to that particular code. And if we are going to create sectoral codes, and Dr. Purchase has given us a rundown on the various codes that have been planned, but haven't taken off yet. There's only one, the tourism industry. Now that doesn't all go well. So what we need, is we need to bring agricultural development at the center of development in the country. And if you want to develop the poorest areas in our country, agriculture must play a dominant role. Now, you have certain parts of our country that is not blessed with sufficient water. And then you have the eastern part which is blessed with reasonable amounts of water. I was told that the Department of Agriculture had done some studies about the Lusiti City area, where up to 40, 50,000 hectares of land can be put under irrigation if we invest money in infrastructural development. That is how we need to think. We need to think big. We need to see that the resources are made available for some big development. This business of small anyana things here and there is not going to bring any form of enrichment, development to the people that we would like to see progress and develop. And that will come if we have an integrated strategy aimed at development of the rural areas, where we take our good points and our strong points, and we then plan according to that. At the moment, say, let's look at our budget. I mean, our budget's a significant portion, whether it goes in administration, salaries, and things like that. So very little share is really going into real development. I mean, if you take the 2009-10 budget, it aimed, it said that it was going to create financial assistance for 7,000 new farmers. What happened in the end, Chair? What was the outcome? 49. CASP was going to reach 80,000 people. What happened in the end? 32,000 were reached. Yet the total budget, actually 97% of that budget was spent. So there's a disjuncture. How are our officials planning things? I mean, how can you plan to assist 7,000 farmers financially when in the end you've only assisted 49, but yet the budget is used up? So there's a disjuncture here. So all these things here need to be put in place, and we need to have a strategic package. And this is our plan. And we need to bring everybody on board, and not one going in that direction, and we say in Afrikaans, herwaarts and derwaarts. That won't get us anywhere. What we are doing now, Chair, is we are actually, you know, trying to clutch at something here, clutch at something there. Sorry for the long explanation, Chair, but I'm very, very passionate about this and seeing development in the areas where it needs to come. But it's not going to happen, Chair, if we want to do it on a piecemeal basis. Let's have a plan, and let us then see that we find resources for that plan. Of course, you're not going to have it in 1 year. But if you have a plan on the table, Chair, you can at least phase it in over a period of time. And that is going to work, Chair. I don't think anything else is going to help us. Thank you, Chair.
Well, what we are clear about, Mr. Malak, is that there are holistic tests. From the culture point of view, and also from the rural development and the form. Notwithstanding those, we also need to see ourselves moving forward. You have a mandate that is clearly spelled out. We need to see how best we fine tune that mandate so that it does have the kick that compels the industry to comply with transformation agenda. I'm not being apologetic, I'm not missing my way.
Thank you, sir. Whereas it might not be have been so important, it would have been good if we, some of us who come here for the first time, know who are we talking to. Mm-hmm. Are we just portfolio committee? We are aware of that, but that's fine. Sir?
Yeah, I'm talking to Parliament.
Yes, I'm talking to Parliament.
Yes,
I think I want to go back a little bit in some of the issues that have been said. One, the issue of process, that it has taken long, it's going backwards and forward. It is true. It is true because when you sit in those committees, time and again you are told when questions are being raised, legitimate questions, in terms of our experience on the ground, and how best can this thing move for us to understand is that no, that has been done and so forth, and you find that it does not actually have an effect where it's supposed to have actually impacted. So it will go backwards and forward until such time there is. The second thing is that in some quarters there is deliberate resistance to actually deal with the transformation. When you open here, so your opening words was that this is about transformation. This is about the agriculture. It's one of the highly untransformed sector, and which is very true. And you also spoke about the betterment of the lives of our people. Those issues for us as NAFU, as black farmers, they are very critical. for those things to actually be the things that we are addressing. But the tendency is to want to paper over the things in order to sustain and maintain the status quo as it is, so that the effect is not where it's supposed to be happening. That's that issue, sir. The whole, when you read for us, when recruit this, which talks about agri-BEE, it is designed to make sure that those who are working in the agricultural industry as employees can be able to benefit from those that are actually employing them. But it's not designed to make sure that farmers who are black, who are not employees of anybody, who are to live on their own, can be able to be empowered. When you go to this parliamentary, I mean this document which is given to us, the very first paragraph speaks strongly about the kinds of things that need to happen. And these are the things which are not happening. This document is the document you found here, so it's written, the 18th of April, an overview of the agricultural broad-based economic empowerment. The first paragraph, the critical words that I use there. And until we begin to come to terms with those words, for us, we believe, transformation. Oh, well, they've given it to us. Anyway. So, I'm saying what you have said, the issue you are raising, the issues of peace, and the kind of thing, the very right for me, where the rubber hits the tongue, it must be at the level at which those who have been on the underside of the apartheid system must be able to be assisted and so on. The issue Mr. Abraham is raising is very critical. Until the kinds of budget are managed in such a way that they actually go to those who are there, like it has been budgeted, we will not see transformation, and black farmers are going to continue to suffer, and we'll come back time and again into this, in a forum like this, to begin to give all other things, but in reality, you will see the people in the rural areas, the farmers who are black, are not getting the kind of assistance, and we are aware that the current commercial farmer in South Africa is where he or she is because of the heavy assistance that the apartheid government gave to them. And it's not happening as far as we are concerned.
Thank you very much, Mr. Chair. I'm going to engage
why don't you make your comments? If you could also form.
Yes, I'm doing that. Some of the questions that were previously raised. I'm going to start with Mr. Abraham's emphasis. I remember he used the word the wish list, what we brought here. It's more in my mouth, the wish list. And as a long-serving member of the council, I felt that I have to come in as well. Though as we perceive it as task given to members, because we didn't just wake up and say, constituencies must go and consult, you know. On the council, we must be cognizant of the fact that we are dealing with sensitive issues, and those sensitive issues are dealt by people with different opinions. For instance, if I am to make an example, if you look at the slide 15, it says members to consult with the constituency on the contribution of private enterprise towards land ownership. If things were going my way, Mr. Abraham, as a person who's coming from the Landless People's Movement, I will be saying to Dr. Partey, get your guys to give every previously disadvantaged black people the farm. And he's not going to say yes on the spot. He will show me the figures and all. So that is the characteristics of what causes the delay in the council. Because our difference on opinion has a basis in terms of reaching the decisions and conclusion. Because if you look at the structure, you've got NAFU, you've got Akrese, you've got Landless People's Movement. I want all the farms. And even Akrese won't say, I'm prepared to give you all the. They will have to sit down and show me this and that and all that. That is one part that is causing the delay. It's not that the council hasn't done much. And if I am to get through to what Semi has just said, Semi mentioned that we have an interim chairperson, and we are waiting the minister to appoint the permanent chairperson. So if you've got a structure with no chairperson, it means the consensus won't be reached the way they are supposed to be reached, because we were checked by the secretariat before. Since the interim chairperson came to the fourth Mr. Chairperson, I can assure you we had some breakthrough. The working groups that are mentioned here were able to present the task that we were given. And fortunately, I'm the chairperson of one of those working groups, and we had two meetings. And within those two meetings, the task that were given to us, we dealt with them and we reported to the council. So if that process of coming up with everything that we dealt through the Charter Council and the working group, I think we would have had about 160 slides here. So the secretariat just decided that through the council, let's have this shorter and show to the council. It's not the waste list, Mr. Abrams. Each working group that is mentioned here, working group 1, working group 2, working group 3, has got its own minutes, and I think if the parliament wants to have access to those minutes, they could be availed. There are minutes, even there are action plans as well. Even on this outstanding issues that are proposed here, given to parliament, they are the resonance of those action plans and tax activities that were done by those working groups through the Charter Council. And I'm not sure if the issue of time frame as far as Mayor's question was addressed on constituents, people going to their constituents. I think it was 9 June 2010, if the issue of time frame was not clearly articulated. And another issue is that you can't put the time frame on the mandate. The mandate is set there. The Charter Council must do this and this. The Charter Council, through its action plan and deliberation and discussion, that's when it says, okay, on this date, this is what it says. I just want to stress through you, Mr. Chairperson, that in the council, it's not easy, because you've got people from different backgrounds. From myself, I'm from Landless People's Movement. I want all the farms. I'm not just looking for 2 or 5 government titles or 30% of government. I want all. But because of the South Africa that we are living in, says the constitution, there's a private clauses, you have to do this, and those are the challenges. And those are those challenges that were initiated by the constitutions and the laws are the challenges that are still haunting us, even in the Charter Council. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Jay. Mama?
I think we owe answers directly to the two questions posed just now. The first one was on the skills development. Why that weighting is heavier on skills development for the AgriB transformation charter than with the generic scorecard. When we, and I was part of the drafting team of the transformation charter, when we did an analysis of the agriculture system, we identified the dearth, the lack of skills in agriculture generally as probably the major deficiency, and that goes with education and a lot of other things in the sector. And you actually said it's because, and it's also why so many trans-land reform projects are failing, is that the people are put on the ground without the necessary skills and support to make it work. So we said we must actually increase that weighting there. We can have more emphasis, greater priority on skills development within agriculture. So people are called heavier in that category to try and get farmers trained, etc. So if an agribusiness or a commodity organization or whoever train farmers, they get points, heavier points for that aspect. So it's identified as probably the biggest single problem. Agriculture is not easy. People think it's just putting a million people into the ground and growing it. There's a whole science behind agriculture. And it's complex. Agriculture is complex. To farm, you've got to be a labor manager, a financial manager, you've got to be sort of a scientist to know how to grow this. You've got to have a lot of skills to be a successful businessman in agriculture, whether you're a farmer or in agribusiness, and that's why we put that focus on it. That's important, and I think we would like to stick with that. The second question was around the farm workers and the farmers and that relation. FAWU is a member of the Charter Council, put in a large workers' union. So they have a full representative sitting on this to look after those interests. That's the one aspect. But there are many aspects. One of the problems that we have, and actually the farmers will speak more about this, but this one that affects our sector too, is that the so-called land equity-based transactions have been suspended by the Minister in Quinte of Land Affairs now for nearly a year. And this is not creating, and that was created so that farm workers can get equity into the land on which they work, so that they can become part of ownership of that farm. So we're trying to empower the farm workers to do this, but that has been suspended. We have been engaging with the department now for 9 months on this issue, and we still don't have clarification. I had a meeting last week, Thursday, with the department, with Ndu Shabani, the Deputy Director General of State, exactly on this issue again. So there are also hindrances that are put in place that are not allowing those type of transactions to take place. Yes, there have been problems, but they're not been sorted out soon enough that we can carry on with the transformation process. See, I think we must also say, and I just want to a brief comment on what Mr. Abraham said and the Reverend. We must also just remember, because every BEE is and the Act is one small cog in this whole process of transformation. There are many other acts, whether it's and you can name them, whether it's preferential procurement, whether it's employment equity. There are a whole number of acts that have to work in unison for transformation. This is the one that we're focusing on in terms of the Black Economic Empowerment Act. So this is just a small part. It can only do so much. Yes, we need that cohesive and a coherent strategy for agriculture and rural development in the broad. This can only be a part of it. It's never going to answer all your questions or provide the whole empowerment situation. We must also just understand what that economic empowerment according to the Act can do, and what the whole process or the whole policy must do in that regard.
Yeah, no thanks. So maybe to add on the question is, the response he gave on Abraham in terms of the working together of the various departments, that we are not working in a holistic way. That's the reason when you look at the representatives here, we have people from land, rural development, land reform. There's a representative from that department, and we have a representative from Department of Water Affairs. We are mindful of the fact that when you talk of agriculture, there will be issues of water. When you talk of agriculture, there will be issues of land. That's why we have all those people sitting in this chapter council. So we are looking at all those things. And when we look at issues and identify issues, be it policy issues or so, then these people will be able to assist in that regard. So in terms of the question by the chairperson, the teeth of, I think there's been several comments on that one. That's the reason we are saying we want to move from the current section 12 to 9, so that the council should at least have some teeth. But for now, it's voluntary. But people have agreed that they will have to do that, because if there are areas where you say if you're not complying with this, you may not be able to do business with government. But then that's the only way that we are using that now, until we move from section 12 to 9, where then the Act will be able to bind. That's the process. But maybe also to note that in as much as we are struggling now, we are busy moving from section 12 to 9, we are not seeing work needs to stop. Organizations still need to comply with the generic code of practice, with the current section 12, which are given, which have been agreed on. So it's not like we're going to stop and start moving from section 12 to 9 and then start working again. There's work that is going on currently.
Sorry, Mama, I
think I need to cover about this scene, but I want to say something as a Black woman. I'm a farmer. And at the same time, I'm a farmer in the city. And you must know that the problem is under the same. That is another thing. thing. If I'm talking about a black family, most of us are women. They are not educated or we can't read and write. You must know that. That is why we are talking a lot about females. Because we want the government to go down to us, not fight. The people must go down to us and train us. Because we always say nothing about us without us. I'm talking about black farmers. We got a land in the Eastern Cape Province, most especially in Sanctuary. But that is a problem. And we can't do nothing because we haven't got nothing to do. To do it, the internet and everything. So that is why we are suffering. That is why we are saying always what the skill is. And somebody can do that and everything. And you must tell us. We have got inside the place, we have got nothing. If you go to the bank, they will want something from you. And we have got nothing. We are the poor of the poor.
I was just going to respond on the issue of the time frame for the council. I think you raised that question to say what is the lifespan of the council. On that one, currently as it is, we don't have a lifespan for the council. But we, however, when we consider the section 9, I think the section 9 should be clear in terms of how the Capital Council members are appointed as well as what will be their lifespan. I think what we want from the current Capital Council is that they should just assist us towards getting the section 9 and all those appointments and the lifespan will be clear in that current year. It is, it doesn't say anything in terms of the chapter. And then on the issue of the expenditure for the current council, as we have indicated, this council is not an institution as it is now, because it's just operating, they are just operating from wherever they are. They don't have offices, they don't have a CEO. When we have section 9, they will have their own CEO, they will have their own staff members, and then they will have their own budget. And then in terms of the experiences from the other kind of councils that are already there, is that, but it will depend on the agreement. The industry will put 40% of the budget, and the government will put 60%. That's how it's working in the forestry charter. Currently, the forestry charter is 60-40 in terms of the budget. But in terms of the expenditure so far for the council, well, this information will be able to provide it. They have not, since they were inaugurated, they only started meeting, late last year. There's not much that really has been spent under this Council as it is. And there is no dedicated budget to it. Hence, we have a working group in the charter that is working on the budget of the council. So far, we don't have a budget, but we have some expenditures today. This is how much has been spent in terms of the running of the charter.
So we now have here the Council member for life.
National proposal or whatever in terms of a holistic or plan for the agricultural sector. I think that was a very valuable contribution. Especially the engagement with the Department of Trade and Industry at this point in time.
Mm-hmm.
Trade and Industry, this Act, Broad-Based Black Economic Empowerment Act, is an act of BTI. The charter, albeit agriculture, was published by the Minister of Trade and Industry. The sector code at the end of the day today will be published and gazetted by the Department of Trade and Industry. So in a sense, we need to add on in this whole process. DTI, driven process, the whole what goes with it. Having said that, I think the engagement of DTI for this portfolio committee, if I might take the gap, is pretty important and necessary, because they're currently dealing with a trade and tariff policy
I can't be dealing with integrated policy action plans for the industry, for the manufacturing sector, for the industry as well, which has a direct bearing on the agricultural sector. Mr. Abraham mentioned the CRDP, Comprehensive Rural Development Plan. And then on top of that, we've got the strategic plan for agriculture, which is still operational, according to the minister. And then we've got DEE, the charter as such, and related to the legislation that was also mooted by Dr. Turchin. So what I'm saying to you, I think that should maybe part of the activities, be part of the activities of the portfolio committee, just the engagement and what impact on agriculture from DCI side. Okay, if I might just respond to the lady's question on the labour, Dr. Purchase has, or farm workers, Dr. Purchase touched on that. But the charter as such makes provision, I think, in various instances for the position of farm workers. It deals with management issues, it deals with ownership issues, it deals with skills development, it deals with poverty alleviation, it deals with the enterprise development, it deals with procurement, which give or take, more or less, has a very direct bearing on the position and situation of farm workers as well. All of those elements of the AGB charter, I suppose, are going to occur.
You see the last
one?
Yeah, Mr. Peterson, thank you very much. On small, most of the questions that you raised here, we took them here as some of the suggestion pointers, when we go back to the Charter Council meetings. And the question you raised that I pointed out as the most important one is how best do we transform the sector? Though the questions didn't hear at the beginning and the end of transforming this sector, but some of the questions you raised did that very well. If you look at the mandate of the Charter Council, the last bullet, it says to share information with sector stakeholders and approved accredited verification agencies. And I said there are some work that were done by those three groups. And one of the groups that dealt with the issue of the accreditation recognized that there were mammoth tasks that were given to the verification agencies on the part. And some of the submission and recommendations made to the council was that even auditors have to be included here. So I'm saying that statement is, Mr. Abraham, works are done out there. So Mr. Semi said here that we are moving to Section 9. We are moving to the teeth now. And moving to that teeth, we have to be in cognizance of the fact that South Africa is the rainbow nation. I didn't say South Africa belongs to this and this and that, but I recommend to the committee to be cognizant of that. There are some difference of opinion in the council, and we are dealing with those difference of opinion in the council. So it may take some time, but not longer time. So training and skill transfer, Chairperson, as attending to your questions, have been recommended to the entire stakeholders in terms of communicating amongst themselves as far as a tool of sharing information so that the rural women and rural communities could be capacitated into the agricultural sector. Thank you very much.
Okay, do you have any further questions? I'm not going to mention the council members here, but none of us here would wish to water down any commercial funding activity in the country. If any one of us shall be having certain aid, that is true. All what we talk about is Korea. Is about food security. But that must equally go across a long side transformation. So there cannot therefore be any mechanistic way of looking at things. We can't
cannot therefore compromise the one at the expense of the other. The two must always go together. That's a simple message we want to make coming out of this country. Because the agenda is one. The agenda is to look at how best can we develop a developmental state. Key among those, the ANC has said itself that food security is one of its five priorities in its manifesto. It is one of the critical areas that must be developed. So there is no confusion. At the same time, we have a responsibility as a nation of ensuring that there must be transformation in this very sector. As I said, without having compromise, but at the same time having to make sure that that transformation starts this way. That's a message that we must always espouse here, Mr. Pistori. When you speak out there, you must make sure that you tell everybody that the ANC-led government has put security as one of its priorities. You have to bring yourself a very, very big favor as a committed sort of thing, who is very part of the people.
I'm so glad you so eloquently repeated my words.
That you are confirming the fact that, and you are going to say again after me. I want to have one or two questions, then break for tea, and then we see how best we run out of the discussion going forward. Ms. Adam, from Philip Mutter, you covered.
Chairperson, thank you very much for the forbearance. I think we want the Council to leave here with a feeling that our government, the ANC-led government, is extremely concerned about seeing to it that there is food on the table of every South African. That is our bottom line. And I want to warn ourselves. You have, for example, the Rift Valley fever that has decimated livestock and it has also taken the lives of human beings. And there's another danger facing us. You must not think that all governments that show us white teeth are all our friends. There are governments that are already considering the banning of importation of meat in our country because of Rift Valley. It is happening. So we need to be vigilant when we question the officials of the department. The chairperson will bear witness, I told one of the Department of Agriculture officials directly, that tell the department that you people let us down on the Rift Valley fever. We do so because we are concerned that nothing must go wrong in our country. We are in a precarious situation. We have too many competitors. The other question is, we need to look seriously at imports. For example, if the tariffs on the importation of wheat is not finalized very quickly, it is now the planting season. We won't have many farmers planting wheat. And it is those kinds of issues that preoccupy our time. But I have a last word for the department. I have asked on 2-3 occasions this morning, we would like to know what was the expenditure on the council. Whether it was a minor expenditure or a major expenditure, we want to know what it is. And all we expect from you is to tell us that it will be made available to the committee. And may I remind all of us that the task of Parliament is to approve the budget of the country, not only for agriculture. One of these fine days we will all have to vote on the entire 907 billion rand that has been appropriated. And there is now a new law which was supposed to have been implemented from now. The issue of the money bills. And we are in a position from next year onwards to change the budget. To say that we believe that this particular program is not entitled to so much because in the last year they didn't perform well. And to change it to whether the money will be employed judiciously. So in short, gentlemen, please take Parliament seriously. When we ask for financial information, we want that information. When we ask for asset registers, we want that asset register. I don't know, Chairperson, whether you received a copy of the ARC's asset register. I haven't seen one yet. Excuse me? Oh, okay. Well, I haven't seen it yet. But all I'm saying, Chair, is that when we ask a question on finances, please tell us directly that it will be made available. You are supposed to be keeping records of all expenditure. And whatever has been expended on this council and its operation, we need to know how much was spent. We need to know whether it's worth the expenditure that we are putting in. Thank you very much.
Maybe one last word from my side.
As I have said initially, this is the very first person that was taken. And it is precisely a blessing. Now, typically, there would naturally be other statements to support. And what is important as we go forward, with all what is being said here, this is to happen by this time and so on and so forth. It will naturally be followed up. But what is key, it is for us to really get a sense as to whether what you are assigned for, you are able to do it. So that a report that we get is a report that shows progress. We're not keen to listen to long stories about what that must still happen. Mr. Abraham is referring to that as a wish. That turns us off. But really, we must get to listen to you more and appreciate you. Is progress that speaks directly to that transformation. I hear you when you say you haven't as yet arrived at any threshold as yet. So that when you talk about those kids must speak to that threshold. That compliance and the legal obligation that go with all of those things. I hear a gentleman is saying it's food for thought for the council as it goes forward in its duties and work. It is really meant to get you prepared when you come back, so that we are able to really get a sense as to whether indeed we are going forward. I really do not like it. I'm not with committee for the service. We all talk about the card being very important and very key and the center of economic development. When we meet in corners like this, it really does not reflect much.
And this now talks to the committee people. And we repeat this all the time. But when we have meat, I was looking at the program that runs up until July. Here is a committee that called Philly Linda. That has submitted its plan. And we have certain things assigned specially for that committee. We have submitted plans, but we keep on chopping and changing. It was meant to be 90 plinths, and suddenly we are now missing one corner at the time of hotel. It cannot be good. We really need people to take ourselves serious if we want to be taken serious. Among others, the form of organization that goes into such sessions is very critical, so that we don't get lost. Others don't even know where Tama Hotel is. They get to know about it today. So I'm lamenting, unfortunately, about our own organization, our capability. But the point again is thrown back at itself. On work that needs to be done, when we come together next time around, we shall indeed be expecting more. We cannot be having the same report. We should see more progress on work done. I don't know whether you have any other further questions there.
No, thanks, Chairperson. I think that clarifies that. When we started, you said this is the first meeting that we have with the Charter Council. And indeed, I think when the discussions went on, sometimes it was like the questions were to the department when it's the Charter Council. Maybe if we had had engagement with the department on the Charter itself, just to clarify what the Charter is all about. Because when the Charter Council comes, they are supposed to be presenting on progress with regards to their mandate. So the discussions were around both. It was like the department and the Charter Council. So that's just from now onwards, when it's the Charter Council coming to present, then they will be knowing exactly what is it that they'll be reporting on in terms of their mandate. Because for now, the progress that the Charter Council will have to bring to the committee is progress on the implementation of the current Section 12 and also report on the waiting towards migrating to Section 9. So the report will be saying, in terms of the RBB implementation, this is progress in terms of the current section which we are operating on. And in terms of the process moving to Section 9, this is how far we are. And these are the challenges that we are picking up. There may be issues that maybe the committee, the council may want the committee to assist with. As they were saying, there are various challenges that they discussed because they are coming from various organizations. So those are the areas that we'll be looking at for the Charter Council. And the department will also be looking at issues which have been raised and terms. Maybe if we had time for the department to come and present issues like the scorecard themselves, because the honorable member was asking the question on skills development, how do you arrive there, so that maybe if we can take the committee through the document itself, so that when the council comes to present, we know exactly what is the basis and where we can take this thing from.
Okay. Members, I think rather than having to break for tea, we seem to have exhausted our session on the matter before. As we did mention the fact that this is the first session, and of course we shall even have find time outside of our clock, which is Tuesday, that we may follow up on the issues raised with the Charter Council. Certainly we world. In fact, we'll have to ensure that we'll have a much more comprehensive system at times. That will also include the trade industry department. And also the department people that deal specifically with some of the issues that we have alluded. I think the absent Mr. Kata, he wants to raise and support me.
It's not in relation to this committee, sir. I just want to ask on another issue.
Mr. Kata?
Thank you. So I think we just need some idea. I know that the question was raised of how much money is being spent. Okay, and we just want the indication. It doesn't have to be an exact figure, but if we can have some sort of indication,
The issue that I just want to be clarity on is we were supposed to meet on Thursday at 1 o'clock to look at the nominations for the ALS Council. That meeting did not happen. So I just want to find out what is really happening with the nominations of the ALS Council. Are we still going to go through a process? Or what is the procedure that we are involved?
Can we agree that do you have that answer readily available on the budget?
No, we can provide them, but it's just for the slides for some of the organizations. Some of the organizations are paying for themselves, but that will be made available. I think it may be in the region. If the manager saying if we exclude the launch of this thing, it's not much. It may be around 100,000 or less. So that's the information that we, because it's about the flights and the refreshments. The refreshments, yeah.
To the committee to
yes.
Service.
Yes.
Yeah.
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 We'll make it available.
Yeah. Can you make it available to the committee to service for distribution?
Okay.
By when?
No, before Wednesday, because that's the information that we could.
Before tomorrow?
Before Friday, you say.
Before Friday?
Yeah.
Are we okay with that?
On or before Friday? You say on or before Friday?
Before Friday?
Yeah.
That's what
before the close of business on Friday. We can have 50 people.
Okay.
So can I then just ask Chair that we rather have a 5 minute break than to be said shabu shabu?
Okay, let's go and thank you very much, Council members, and much appreciated the fact that you spent your time, your resources, and you gave us a bit of your mind as to where you are in this process. We understand and appreciate your own constraints. But of importance, whether you are landless people or you are landed people, you have tens of references. Because we expect you to work as a collective, guided by the tens of references. And all what we are interested in is to see really that there is transformation in the sector called as a cardinal economy. We are not going to be interested in your own internal. We are going to be very much, extremely very much interested in the output in terms of the tender process. Whether you are making any progress or not. It's good for you, it is our first lesson, that we get a sense as to what is going on. What can I?
Everything.
Good.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank
you. Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you.
What time is your flight? Route?
I'm on the airport.
Is this the department the power to shortlist and to nominate candidates? So the committee, to members of the committee, they requested to submit the CVs to the committee secretary and to compile and that all those CVs are going to be sent to the department to do the shortlisting there, because they also, there are other CVs that were sent directly to the department. So all the members were expected to put their submissions before Friday, before 12, Wednesday, that will be
up. In a nutshell, the member, I did put a question to the meeting. Because members felt that there was no need for us to engage further, because we are not going to make an input. Members have felt that we should simply just continue to act as a post office. Meaning, we all receive CVs. People we nominate, or those that have been nominated by the committee secretariat, and I receive those CVs as they are, and they are now taken straight to the selection committee appointed by the minister. I must also mention that having asked members five, if not five, members felt that there is no need for us to meet. You have been waste of time and so on. Despite the fact that members initially they had raised a very keen interest in engaging in a process where we are able to say to the minister, after our own session, "Minister, these three, four, five names, come with me, please, we recommend. Give us that latitude." Members still felt that there's no need. That's how we concluded on the matter, to the point where the meeting has been taken place last week on Thursday. On Thursday, in Victoria, we're looking at a number of other cities, including some that came from Parliament here. I think there were 10. Yeah? There were 10 that came through the committee secretariat. We went to a process that finally recommended out of that selection committee, we recommended 21 names for the minister. The council or the board has to have anything between 8 and 15. Of those that are continuing as having served one term, there are only 4. So the rest is going to be new. Some were members of the ARC board previously, 3 years, 4 years ago, also, we have also included some of those in the list. But that is a discussion that took place within that selection committee, and the minister will then be informed accordingly. And tomorrow, there is a process wherein we will get a feedback, number one. Number two, there is going to be a process that starts with another debate now on CTECB and also the winery task board. Now, those two, CTECB and winery, again, we have a challenge that Parliament has no role in accordance to those laws governing those two entities. All what they do, they simply inform the chair to join and rubber stamp everything that is there. In other words, a nomination that came through, and we engage in an exercise of special shortlisting. The minister then has to be given that recommendation for the minister to approve. Now, there are two separate things. Let's put them as such. ARC, and I've just gotten this information. That's normal this year. But again, this is something that, you know, I don't even see those nominated people on both the CPCB and also, even if I was to see them, what's the point? We only, just, you know, according to the law, I'd expect that the minister, you know, appointed to the chair, process, and so on and so forth. That is process. Dr. Bosman, discussion?
Thank you, Chair. Chair, yes, I think I'm quite surprised with what you're saying. And that's the reason why I put it on the agenda. I say I'm quite surprised at your input that you've just made on the process of what has happened to the ARC Council. I have got the message that nominations closed at 12 o'clock today. We got that message the day before it closed. Obviously, I think it was advertised, and maybe we didn't get the advertisement, but that is by the way. On the whole process afterwards, we've never been consulted. We have never got a list of nominations that were submitted to this committee. I've never seen a list, the final list. I don't know who the selection committee is. How are they selected? Are they appointed by the minister? So the whole process to me is absolutely unacceptable. We discussed it before, and you remember with the land bank board. The same thing happened, but at least with the land bank board, a meeting was called and we were informed of what was happening. After that, we have tentatively decided to amend in the committee the procedure. Pete Petrillius, my colleague at that time, because of the fact that he's well known with the procedures in Parliament, has afterwards put a private amendment bill to effect of the land bank nomination. But that has not been finalized yet. But what we should do, and I think that is the reason why I think this is necessary that we have the discussion. I disagree completely that this committee or Parliament has nothing to do with the nomination of this board. This board has to report to this Parliament. And it cannot be otherwise just be appointed by somebody and has not been informed, or even have a process of maybe have a short list on the people that must be nominated. Eventually, I do agree that the minister then appoints who he thinks is suitable for that specific purpose. But again, I think we should discuss first of all the principle of this whole procedure that is followed at the moment. And if it is necessary that we change the bill or the act, that we do change the act to make it possible for the portfolio committee to see over all the boards that are nominated and that must report back. We've seen the MED council yesterday. I mean, we've never had an opportunity, I believe, in the previous portfolio committee to nominate these people or to even know who they are. So, and then in the end, we must take the responsibility of overseeing the activities that they do. So I think at least what we can do is that we can have a process. So maybe we should discuss if we all agree that we should have been involved in the process of shortlisting and nominations. I'm not worried really about the nominations because it's not really a political issue. I think the best person for the job should be nominated. And it should obviously come also from the role players and the affected parties on the ground. As far as the ARC Council is concerned, I'm quite surprised, but I must object and I must put my objection on the table that we, and that is the Democratic Alliance, in our group, we haven't been informed of the list, we've never seen who were nominated, we do not know how the process works with the selection committee that you referred to. And I really don't think that is the way to handle the situation. That is very short, is my input. Thank you, sir.
Mr.
Thank you, Chief. I need to firstly apologize for reopening this issue this morning. Okay, but as I think all of you are aware, that in my budget debate on Tuesday, I asked the minister a direct question of when will the ARC board be appointed. She then sent me a note saying to me, how can I ask her that question if it is this very committee that is supposed to be doing the shortlisting? Now, that is now really giving total confusion. The minister is blaming us for the delay and for the reason that the process was not carried through. Now, then we've got a year here that she actually appointed selection committee. Now, when was that selection committee appointed if I already had interviews on Thursday? But on Tuesday, on the 13th, the minister said to me, we as this DC on agriculture is supposed to do the shortlisting.
Huh?
Yeah, you know, and in further, I also need to say, in light of all of this, I also do not agree with the process that was followed of the shortlisting and the interview that took place in the shortlisting on Thursday. And as the Congress of the People of the Law, so not on the information that we won't support it.
You don't talk about
the list, the shortlisting. I mean, nothing's been seen. The minister has clearly, in black and white, in a note, said to me, send a note out and say, how can we ask that question if we, as the agricultural committee, was responsible to do the shortlisting? Unfortunately, I didn't think we're going to have time for it today to discuss, otherwise I'm exhausted, but I've got it in the office, I'll bring it to you.
What? No.
Yeah, the letter.
Is it in letter?
Yeah, well, it was not in the letter yet, but she signed it off at the bottom, and it was on a A4 scrap paper. So the whole page that she wrote.
Oh, the pen blue or black?
It might have been green.
Thank you very much for the briefing. I think I held the view personally that if we don't have any say in the matter, not even in shortlisting or whatever, there's no point in getting involved in the process. Because at the end of the day, there may be people on that body that are appointed for reasons other than their qualifications to serve on scientific bodies in this particular case, research and scientific bodies. But my problem, Chair, is that we get the order paper on a daily basis. And on Thursday, I saw on the order paper that there was a meeting scheduled, I think in the room at 226 or 227, for 1 o'clock. And I went there, because I thought that, well, there's a meeting, and it's a meeting of the portfolio committee. Excuse me.
Yeah.
Oh, no, wait there. You can check out on the other frequency. So I went there.
Why?
And just to find that there wasn't even a ghost there. And then while coming back, I met Mr. Bosman, and he asked me, when is this meeting taking place? I've been there and there's nothing. I said, well, I've just been there and there's nothing.
What meeting was
that? It said clearly the nominations to the ARC board.
Yeah.
That was the agenda for a meeting of the PC. It was in the order, on the order paper. So all I'm saying, Chair, is that if something appears on the order paper and if we don't pitch up there, then it means that we will be marked off absent without an apology.
Yeah.
But there, I think we need to get something straight. These bodies actually report to this committee. They are held accountable for whatever funds they spend, for the budget, etc., etc. And as a matter of principle, Chair, Parliament must not allow its right to have a say in at least the process of the appointment of any board over which it has to have oversight to be taken away from it. Now, if existing legislation does not provide for it, then I think we should actually take the necessary steps to bring forth that we need to amend the legislation so that at least Parliament is known in the matter and that the appointments carry in some form or the other the endorsement of Parliament. Now, these are statutory bodies, they're important, they are actually going to be spending funds appropriated by Parliament, and one must not allow that right of Parliament to be able to oversee them and also to oversee the type of people that are appointed to these boards and to place this right solely in the hands of a member of the executive. A member of the executive should make these appointments in consultation with relevant committees of Parliament. In this case, the Agriculture Committee. So, Chairperson, all I'm saying is that we must not allow our right to be watered down. We should have the right to be able to make recommendations or be involved in shortlisting, and the minister can then, from that shortlist, appoint the person or persons that he or she believes are the correct people. And say there are a number of bodies. For example, we heard today that the Agri-BEE Charter Council does not have a chairperson. Now, previously, I made you understand that the chairperson was the DG of the Department of Agriculture. Ex officio, he or she chaired the meetings of the Agri-BEE Charter. So in short, Chair, what happens now is that it is rudderless. There's nobody that controls it, nobody that guides it. And it should have a designated person to chair it. And if it's the DG of the department, I personally have no problem with it. Because that person is answerable to us. The DG has to come and face us and answer us. So, Chair, I think that these are some of the issues that we need to discuss. And then, Chair, along with that, and I'm digressing a bit, we also need to have a meeting with the minister on the budget. I mean, we are supporting the budget. The budget has not passed yet, but we are supporting it. And we need to discuss with the minister some of the performances of the department with regard to some of its programs, where there were failures or where there were not sufficient execution of the threat plan presented in previous years, in the previous budgetary year. And naturally, said, you should actually be judged not by what you say you are going to do in the following financial year, but also by how you have performed in the previous financial year. And that, to my mind, Chair, is one of the central duties of Parliament, to be able to evaluate whether the department has spent their budget in the previous financial year judiciously or not. Because we need to see to it that improvements come and improvements take place so that we can carry out the mandate of the people of the country who expect certain outcomes. So I think we need, and that, and there may be other issues also, that, and there are many that we need to discuss. Thank you very much.
Can we get a sense as to who was in the last meeting where a decision was taken that there is no need to come together as a committee?
I was present there.
No, I don't need to get the full list.
Which meeting was it?
Now, what we are doing here, members, we are violating one of the principles of the democracy. When a decision is taken by a collective, that decision is implemented. We have implemented that decision. Now, instead of asking whether was there any decision taken differently, members come and say we are not part of the process and so on. GA is not part. Hope is not part of the decision. It's a decision taken by collective. The question I guess members should have asked the minutes of that session or decision taken at that session. I understand fully well that, and this is a point I made twice or thrice in our last session, that in our previous meeting we agreed that we need to come together and see to it that we need to take this process forward. That decision we took in our in a meeting before that. But when I brought that issue back to the meeting for implementation, so that by Thursday we come together, I was imagining here the secretary by that time had taken that decision through the committee section for order paper and so on and so forth. I'm not going to say that. But we agree that we don't need to take a process that says, let's bring all the cities together. Let's engage the cities together. I asked that exercise 3 times. I don't understand why you are not.
Can I ask you on that, please?
That's number one. Number two, we are agreed also in our session, I cannot remember when, that the researcher and the committee secretariat should bring in consultation with the state law advisor. To bring all the legislation that everything to do with our committee here. Number one. Number two, and others that are not directly related to us, but have an effect on us. Among others, for instance, the Sugar Act is located at the GTI group. We also agreed last week to the DG that he should give us time, a schedule of all the entities that we are supposed to play a role as Parliament Committee, or entities that were supposed to not play a role, maybe the Trustee played a role. And also give us an indication as to what is expected of us as a committee. The DG is going to give us our margin finger. Because the problem that I was having with him, I was saying, I don't like the situation where another invitation, I think sometimes it made on the vineyard and so on in Kimberley. Now that is something that is going to be brought, you know, to me, that I would have to share with the entire committee here. But there are great members here that a number of the legislation have their own shortcomings. Yes, they are accounting to us, but we have very limited role to play in their makeup. We have said this when we started this discussion on the land bank. And we also did say it when we spoke about ARC. We really called for the minister to try by all means. Yes, it is not within the law, but the minister should really be pleading on her to consider seriously some of the things. And I'm repeating myself, stating that. But this very same committee met last year last time and agreed there is no need for the international side. Because we shall literally be confirming once again that we are a full topic. Particular issue related to HRC is concerned.
So can I ask you on one or two of the issues, because just for clarity, I'm not fighting with you, I just want to have us understand what is going on. On the 8th of this month, I got an email on my SMS that was on the Thursday. TV on Agriculture on Monday the 12th of April, a meeting will be convened to adopt the committee report on Budget Vote 25. Simon Benny will be conferred. Nothing about the ARC, no other items on the agenda. So the Monday is Constituency Day. And I immediately phoned the Secretary and said, I've got a meeting on that Monday. I cannot be here. So I think this is the first thing that we must discuss. We cannot be in two places at the same time at such short notice. If we want to have on longer notice, we can make arrangements. But when I have a constituency meeting in my constituency on the Monday, I fly back on the Monday night to be here on the Tuesday morning for the committee. We cannot just chop and change at any time. And then secondly, the item was not on the agenda. So I cannot see why you blame us that we have agreed to it. Because we couldn't be there in the first place. It wasn't a scheduled meeting and it wasn't on the agenda. But that is not the point. The point was that I put on the table is we must discuss if we want to have a role to play in the appointment of the board. And if so, let us get a process rolling in future so that we not be eliminated in this whole process of nominating and shortlisting of the people. And I think I agree with what Honourable Arnold has also said. I mean, he confirmed that they are of the same opinion on this specific matter. We have discussed it earlier and we confirmed it again on the Land Bank, and we have moved an amendment on the Land Bank Act. Surely we must just have a look, and I think the confusion that was pointed out by Honourable Carter, I think the Minister is understanding that we must give her a short list. We do not know who the selection committee is. Maybe you can inform us who the selection committee is that goes through the nomination. I don't clearly myself don't want to nominate because I don't think it's a serious committee job to nominate people. But the role players out there must be informed, and we are responsible also to our own voters on the ground to make sure that everybody has an opportunity to get some people nominated on a board where they have some contact with. So that is the whole process, and that is the only reason why I bring it to the committee so that we can amicably discuss the issue and get a solution to it.
Mr. Chairman, thank you. On this matter, also other matters flowing from it. Now, I'm a couple of person who take pride in whatever we do. What I do, whatever we do, I think we should take pride in it. I think we should guard against a situation where this committee, like some other committees, are being the laughing stock of Parliament. Now let me just delve into that. The whole question of scheduled meetings and program is a concern to me. The fact that we do have to book flights, not me, unfortunately, I'm close, but other members, we do have meetings in constituencies, you do have to book flights, you have to change flights, that is a serious concern. So we have to address that problem. Now, what I want to get to is this. Now, fortunately, I was, as you know, I was in Scopa. And let's get to the bottom of this thing. Scopa is inundated with work. And I'll get to the point why. You see, what happens is the work in Scopa is divided amongst the members. And all these members read reports. I have to read 20-year reports in a question of 3-4 weeks. Now, if you are not very good at looking at facts and figures, those reports are thick. Easily something can slip by. What happens is that some of those departments are playing Russian roulette. Maybe the bullet comes up to them, maybe it doesn't. You see? It's like Russian roulette. Do you know that game that people play with one bullet in the chamber? nobody plays it there anymore, but yes, some people are mad enough to do it. But what's happening is that these people are taking a gamble. These departments are taking a gamble that their number won't come up at Scopa, which is Scopa's only got so many slots. I spoke to the Scopa people the other day. They've got only so many people to see, so many departments to see. The rest that's also in disarray, they cannot see. There's no different time. And also, I got the impression that these departments rock up at 9 o'clock in the morning, they survive until 1 o'clock, then everybody goes to lunch, and goodbye, we see you next year. They just brace the fire from 9 o'clock to 1 o'clock. Now that's a problem. But why do I say this? I say this because if PC committees were doing their job properly, nobody would be forced to go, maybe 5 or 6. That's my point. Now, if one reads the year report of these departments, I ask myself, Where was the PC? Where was the portfolio committee? Can't they read this report? They are now in engagement with their own committees about, say, 2010 years. But 2009 and 2008 is in front of them, and they have adverse reports from the Auditor General. What does the PC do? Rub their hands, wash their hands like Pontius Pilate, and said it's got nothing to do with me, it's now a Scopa problem. Because Scopa will sort out one of the politicians used at the press conference, but now this lot is now a concern of Scopa. That's not the right way we're doing it. Scopa cannot do this. It's impossible. I think the whole Parliament is suffering from, the whole system is suffering from something like a cerebral malaria. Once you knock out, if you've got too much malaria and there's too much parasites in your blood, and you kill them with medicine, it actually clogs your brain and you die of stroke. So that's what's happening. There's so much to do for Scopa, and because the pieces aren't doing their work. What I'm saying is, to just conclude my long, obvious speech is that I think our PC should look very closely at the things that we do and avoid the situation and do our bit to get things in line. And that is why when you look at the program and scheduled meetings, we should take this all into consideration. Because let's face it, my conclusion after a year in Parliament is that Parliament is currently failing the people of South Africa, and it's not this party or that party or this or that. It's partly also the system, and the pieces are not doing their work. I don't know how you feel about it, but from my point of view, I don't want agriculture to be a mediocre PC.
I think right in the beginning when I started, I apologized for the openness. And I must be honest with you, I really do not appreciate it when I explain, or if you explain on the DA and CO. I think let's just get the priority right. We, and I personally, have been one of the forerunners of saying this is not an election or building political party points. Okay? This is about food security, it's about agriculture in the country of South Africa. Not at the ANC, not at COPE, not at the DA. And to sit here and have a debate on this now is, you know, and criticize it. And if we just go back and just look at last week, sorry, I'm just a little bit worked up. If we go back to last week when we had the budget debate, I think that from every member here, we were positive, showing that we are going out and we want agriculture to work out. From COPE, I did not criticize any leader. I don't think the DA has criticized any leader. And I think that shows that just 99% of us, there is unity here. Okay, that we want to see agriculture working. That meeting was called on the Thursday to have it on the Monday. I phoned the committee secretary and I phoned yourself personally to say I cannot make it. But I will even go as far as sending an email saying that I support and you know the document, the report, and that it can be adopted in my absence. And the reason I brought this up this morning and apologized for bringing it up was to say the chairperson is saying to us, we are post office. The minister is saying to me, no, you're not the post office. Now, who do I believe? Do I believe a minister or do I believe a chairperson? Are we a post office or are we not a post office?
It is the law.
Yeah, okay, let me just finish what I'm going to do. And that is why I brought it up here. And I apologize for bringing it up. So, you know, I would honestly appreciate it if you would withdraw the fact that, you know, COPE is doing this, the DA is doing this. Let us find unity, right from the chairperson down, right to the bottom. I think it's time that we sat in this meeting and decided that we are all a part of seeing agriculture work in this country, and that is the only thing that we should consider. When it comes to elections next year, go and score your brownie points, and everyone else can go and score their brownie points somewhere else. But let's not do it in this country. Thank you.
Members, I must apologize on bringing the matter in a manner in which it was brought to the committee. It was an emergency setup. I received a letter from the DG impressing upon us to conclude the matter, and they scheduled a session for that Thursday. I even said to the committee secretary, the DG cannot wrap us in that fashion. We'll have to take the matter to the committee. But again, I had to bring the matter back because I said to her that I cannot go to that meeting in Pretoria without the committee having met her, because I was literally guided by our decision earlier that of saying to ourselves, let's gather all the cities, let's engage, and finally recommend. So that's what we said, we were all there. But that meeting was said, having received that correspondence from the DG's office, meeting said, let's not go ahead as a committee.
enough that we can see. And the committee is literally guided by that very ARC law that says ours is a role that only engages us in so far as nominations are concerned. As to shortlisting, we don't feature. As to recommending, that law says we don't feature. It only says the committee, the National Assembly, and also the NPOP should equally be equal. The meeting, the selection committee appointed by the minister, which comprises the committee of what Secretary was saying, the staff, the DG, and some of the people dealing with the specific area on research. And also, well, the law, the DG, and what has that routine as a minister, and also somebody from the National Treasury. That's the selection committee. When that was convened last year in December, I had to read through the law and identify what is it that one is expected to do and where is it stipulated in the law. Where are the committee, because we had an experience with the land bank or the charter. That law is very pointed. Talks about committees of parliament, NPOP, and also National Assembly. And also saying they must play a role of nominating. And also the chairperson should then form part of the selection panel appointed by the minister. That's what that law says. This is a law, equally, I am saying to myself, should form part of those legislation that need a review. Again, in the same spirit as we have just alluded, that says we need to play a more meaningful role in this process. We are in the same page when it comes to that. But that law is limiting us, this ARC law, only as far as those two roles are concerned. I then have to intervene and say, wait, don't go ahead and rush this process. Allow Parliament to go through its own process of nomination. We even gave each other a date of the 8th of January for Parliament committee go through its own process. But 8th of January, the Speaker said people were out on their side. They couldn't be applicable. That's why then they exist delay until it is speak now. The last thing I want to make, which the ARC CEO mentioned, unfortunately, and I also saw it in writing. Auditor General indicated that there is going to be an emphasis of matter because there is going to be a budget that is expected to be approved, but there is no board. Those are some of the issues that they were really pressured with, that really warranted the situation that we found ourselves in. But again, we're not pressured ourselves. Because it is the same committee here that says, no, go ahead. You know, processes must go ahead and so on. For as long as we have pulled together those figures, the names that they are received through whoever, are Professor Maekiso, from UCD, Mr. Mdolti Jassi, from CD, Mr. Agri Mahude, a small scale farmer, and Madanjana, Mr. Ratofa. Anybody who proposed the name? Ratofa. Maybe it's one of the entities, either NAFU or NAFU or whatever. Is that Pandamarta?
I submitted that one. Bongani Memela. Bongani is from CSR. I invite that person. John Sachet, Naftali Morel.
Morel too.
Andre Yosef, Zane Letola, and Kathleen Hegge. These are the names that came through the committee of church. That has been submitted to that person.
Can I just propose a way forward? If we as a committee are satisfied that the committee should be involved and engaged in the appointment, or at least in the process of the appointment of boards and entities that report, the boards and entities, the boards of entities, the councils of entities and boards that report to this particular committee, that the legislation providing for that appointment should reflect the involvement of the committee. Now, Chair, you don't have to be a rocket scientist to do that. Simple amendment to existing laws. And I think one can even approach the state law advisors that this is an anomaly that we see, and that we suggest that they, we give them what we want, and that they prepare amendments, proposed amendments, and we can then put that before the minister as a resolution of this committee, and that would be a very proactive and speedy way forward. That's going to happen overnight, but at least then we have sort of taken steps to rectify a situation which, and that is if all of us here believe that that needs to be done, to rectify a situation which has shortcomings. I think that would resolve the matter.
I don't think there should be an argument.
And I think this is often evident. I still believe that the current the interpretation of the involvement of the committee is inclusive and not exclusive or limiting. And we should just maybe have a look again, because I'll tell you why I say that. If it refers to the portfolio committee, it wouldn't refer to the portfolio committee. It has no role to play. If we don't discuss it here and we send you there to, as the chairman to the selection committee, how would you know what our directors would be to take it up there with us? So we must just have a look at them. If it's unclear, and I'll agree with Don Oliver, then we should just add a word or something to make it inclusive, and that's all we are.
I think they may have been naughty enough to ask Nogzola if she wouldn't mind just giving us those sections of the relevant legislation with respect to PPECB, that wine industry trust, all of those that report both to us. And then, Chair, with regard to next week's meeting, I was sent an SMS that I might have to join a parliamentary delegation next week overseas, so I won't be at the meeting. But Chair, you allow me in a minute or two, I just want to make a plea to the committee that when that report on the Baro Polokhadi community appears, all I have done there, Chair, is to carry out the mandate given to me to go there when they had a handover of certain of their activities, and I reported on what I had seen there. I have made no recommendations in the report. I'm merely giving a factual situation, and I would think, Chair, that if the report can be adopted and if it can then be sent to agriculture and to rural development, and next week, yeah. But I won't be here, Chair, so I won't be able to make an input on it. But I'm just appealing to the committee that they must look at it positively, because here they restituted land, 24,000 hectares, and nothing is happening there. The community is not being assisted by the department that should have been giving them post-settlement support, and we highlight those things.
Those are matters raised in the report.
Yes, I have alluded to that, what I've seen on the
ground. Did you all receive the report?
Yes.
We did not.
He is a part of a whole lot of documents here. Members should have them. Otherwise, they will ask about it.
But, last week, Monday, I wasn't present in the meeting, so I don't know what
it was. It was not for last week.
It was before that.
It was before that.
Anyway, let's establish who else did not see the report. Did you receive it, Mr. Sutton? Anyway, there are three members who did not receive the report. He did not receive it as well. Remember? Okay. There are four members here who did not receive the report. Member Khatta, Osman, and Soy did not receive the report on the Northwest visit and assignment of half to the Abram. So it would just minutes after the meeting, it would just make those reports available.
But Chair, may I suggest that Mr. Shebekuru and whoever is here in Canberra is, I don't see Mr. Canberra here anymore, that they also be sent those reports.
They haven't sent it
with our work.
until we met you when, was it 27th or 26th?
There's a new program that says, unfortunately,
we don't have a program, let's see.
There is work at Parliament, but we are not going to have committee.
Yeah. It's actually constituency week. So because there's a holiday in between as well.
27.
So,
we won't be able
to. That is why we have
on
our program. Our next meeting is on the
program.
Yeah, that's good.
Oh, not. Okay, sorry. We are on the
20th.
Then.
Our next meeting is
on the 4th. Sorry, that's my fault. So, next week we're not meeting, we're meeting on the 4th.
Yeah.
Okay, so Baruch Olachadi does not come in next week, so I will be present, hopefully, in the next week.
You come with Margaret, like Baruch Olachadi, you know.
Everyone can just excuse me for that, because in fact, we are done. I'm told by the Commons of Spirit that we also just receive another invocation on Nila Saragur.
On Wednesday?
On the 4th and the 5th. Yeah, here from the waterfront. Remember, be informed that though I haven't yet met the person, the supervisor for the committee secretary has been trying to find time. This morning I couldn't call, or I couldn't see him. He was another meeting early morning, 8 o'clock here. When we meet next time, we're going to be having a new secretary, someone else.
Chair, can I then just ask, have we then decided as a committee that we need to look at the legislation with regard to the appointment of boards and Nogzola will do us the favor of just going to it.
Can you liaise and just give us a report in case time? Real estate law, when for parliament legal assignment. On the list of legislation, and also do some bit of analysis as to what the gaps are. We have been talking about land bank, now about ARC, TPECB, Marketing Council,
and
now all of these legislation. If we just identify the gaps for us, and that point us into some kind of direction, which will then engage in a discussion. We might have taken a whole day workshop on this particular. Because if members are here, then well, members are saying we should actually be proactive and take an initiative. We have that act in sponsoring legislation for the state. Or a member. Thanks, members.
Thank you.
And so we meet on the 4th of May.
Is there going to be lunch?
My apologies is that I won't be able to join you. I've got another engagement.
Where's the lunch? Where's the lunch?
She will tell us.
On the fifth floor.
On the first floor.
On the first floor.
On the first
floor. On the first
floor. On the first floor. On the first floor.
Sorry?